With What's News from the Wall Street Journal, I'm Anne-Marie Fertoli in New York. Both sides are digging in on immigration ahead of the State of the Union address on Tuesday.
The incentives to compromise and create some agreement in the middle haven't increased. They may actually be decreasing for both parties.
The Wall Street Journal's Jerry Seib has the details, but first, here are some other top stories we're following. Virginia Governor Ralph Northam could undermine the Democratic Party in 2020 as calls mount for him to resign over a racist photograph. Democrats have sought to distance the party from President Trump on issues of racial injustice and sexual discrimination by removing members accused of wrongdoing. Northam gave a news conference on Saturday where he offered inconsistent answers, sparking more calls for his resignation, including from senior Virginia Democrats. Bond markets legend Bill Gross is retiring from Janus Henderson to focus on his charitable foundation. Gross co-founded Pacific Investment Management Company in 1971 and built it into a fixed income powerhouse. But he had a bitter separation from PIMCO and joined Janus in 2014. His charitable foundation, the William, Jeff, and Jennifer Gross Family Foundation, oversees some $390 million. United Airlines is changing its policies after reviewing an incident where passengers were stranded on a grounded plane for more than 12 hours overnight. The air carrier is now steering pilots away from Goose Bay, a remote Canadian airfield sometimes used for diverted planes. United says it will only use the airfield for emergency landings. A January 19th incident left about 250 passengers stuck in a plane on the tarmac due to a medical emergency, followed by a mechanical problem. Workplace messaging company Slack has filed confidentially to go public with a direct listing, a non-traditional move successfully used by Spotify last year. The Wall Street Journal, which has reported that Slack would go public via a direct listing, says the company's initial public offering could come as early as this spring. Still to come, why hopes of a compromise are dwindling ahead of the State of the Union address. President Trump delivers his State of the Union address on Tuesday, and heading into the speech, which was delayed from last month due to the partial government shutdown, both sides are taking a hard line on immigration. Joining us now with more details is The Wall Street Journal's executive Washington editor, Jerry Seib. Jerry, the reason the State of the Union was delayed was because of the fight over border security, the same reason for the government shutdown, and the government has since reopened, but those issues haven't gone away.
No, and I think there was a perhaps misperception after the shutdown ended that the president was backing down and Democrats had won, and now there was just a need to have a congressional group come together and codify the Democratic victory. But that's not really the way it feels now, because almost immediately President Trump commenced saying, I haven't given up on the border wall. I haven't given up on my demand for more than $5 billion to fund that border wall. If this doesn't get solved in the next 3 weeks, we could shut down the government again, or I will declare a national emergency to fund the wall with money from other parts of the budget, whether Congress approves it or not. That latter threat about the national emergency is one that he keeps repeating in recent days, and I suspect you'll hear it repeated again Tuesday night in the State of the Union address. So this is not over. It probably simply has morphed into a different kind of battle, but both sides are pretty dug in on this.
And you also point out that in recent years, Democrats have moved even further left on immigration. And at the same time, we're seeing President Trump moving the goalposts as well. It seems that both sides have become even more deeply entrenched. Tell us a little bit more about what you think we can expect to hear on Tuesday night.
Well, first, as a backdrop, I think that's right. I mean, President Trump has moved Republicans to the right on immigration, and Democrats are moving to the left. And if you go back to the mid-1990s, which I did just for an interesting comparison, you found that you had in the mid-90s in the Clinton administration, Democrats being the ones arguing for a tough line on illegal immigration, for having better border security, for arresting illegal aliens, for stopping them from committing crimes. Trumpian rhetoric across the board. And you had a lot of Republicans who were basically cautioning their party against moving too far down that anti-immigrant path, saying it was bad for the Republicans and bad for the economy. And now you've had a bit of a role reversal. And I think that in the last couple of months, both sides have moved further away from each other, and partly because of the actions of the other party. And it's leaving the center even more vacant on immigration, and the polarization has gotten bigger. And President Trump, because he's playing to his own hardline Trumpian base on immigration, and Democrats, because they have decided since they won control of the House and they think they prevailed, and most people agree with them, in the government shutdown, they have hardened their position, which is no money for a wall. And you have an immigration issue in which both parties have decided they're better off staying entrenched where they are rather than compromising. And that's, I think, where we are as the State of the Union approaches, which is to say the incentives to compromise and create some agreement in the middle haven't increased. They may actually be decreasing for both parties.
And as we look ahead, even beyond the State of the Union address on Tuesday, we are looking at that February 15th deadline. If both sides are less willing to compromise, where does that leave us?
You know, I don't think it leads us heading toward another government shutdown. Republicans are extremely clear that they don't want to go down that path again. They do agree with Democrats that they and the president suffered more politically in the government shutdown than the Democrats did. So I think the signals going to the White House from Capitol Hill, from Republicans in Congress, are don't do another shutdown. That's not going to get us anywhere, and it's only going to hurt us in the short term as well as the long term. So I think where we're headed is toward that national emergency declaration that President Trump keeps talking about. Now, that doesn't thrill Republicans either. There are a lot of Republicans in Congress who would like to have a compromise, think that there can be one worked out by congressional negotiators that would include some border funding for a wall, but also include legal status for Dreamers, those illegal aliens brought here as children through no decision of their own and who are now in a kind of a perilous legal state. That deal is there to be done, and it could be worked out in Congress. The problem is President Trump says, I want all the money that I'm demanding for the wall, and Speaker Nancy Pelosi is saying, not a dime for your wall. And if that's where we are, I don't know how the compromise that everybody in the middle could agree upon actually gets enacted.
Jerry, what do we know about what that national emergency declaration would look like?
Not clear, because nobody's ever used that tool in this kind of situation. But what it would probably say is simply that the president declares there's a national emergency along our southern border, sort of the way a president can declare there's a national emergency in the wake of a hurricane or a natural disaster or some similar calamity. And what that does is it empowers him to use executive authority to fund operations that are deemed necessary by the president because of the national emergency. And in this case, that probably means taking money from the defense budget and essentially appropriating it on his own to sign some contracts for further construction of a border wall or a fence that Congress won't approve. Now, what would most likely happen in that case is that Democrats would find a way to appeal that decision in the courts, saying essentially this is a bogus use of the president's authority to declare a national emergency. And the most likely outcome is that it would be tied up in the courts for months and months. And so there wouldn't be a lot of money flowing toward a border wall. There would be a continuing fight. But meanwhile, as it was hashed out in the courts, the government can continue to function. The president and Congress would essentially have to agree to disagree about this, and everybody could move on with other things in life. But that means in turn, and by extension, that this question of immigration and the border wall hangs over Washington potentially for months to come.
All right, that's the Wall Street Journal's executive Washington editor, Jerry Seib, joining us from Washington, D.C. Thank you so much, Jerry.
Happy to be with you.
And that's What's News. I'm Anne-Marie Fertoli in New York for the Wall Street Journal.